Well, good evening. Welcome to church tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me tonight to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter number 14 this evening. It's good to be in God's house always. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. I trust you've had a great day in the Lord. Every day that you're alive and in the Lord is great. Amen. 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 Thank God the privilege tonight to be able to stand here in this sacred place and bring to you what God's laid upon my heart. I trust it'll be a blessing to you, a help to you as you come together to God's house. Thank you for being back tonight. Thank you for being in church tonight. You know, I don't know, since I got saved, I've always had a desire to be in church. When the doors are open, I want to be there. I thank God for giving me that desire. You know, that wanting to be in God's house with God's people. There's no greater place to be as a Christian is with God's people. Especially when you hear the Word of God taught and the Word of God is open. God has something for us always in His Word, doesn't He? Always does if we're prepared for it. And I really believe that with all my heart. The message I'm bringing tonight is kind of a hard message to preach. I trust you'll be much in prayer for me. Sometimes, Pastor, you know, you want to say things that will honor the Lord always, but you want to be careful that you won't say things that will help people too. We all need help today. This country, America, needs help bad. And I want to talk a little bit tonight. First of all, I'm going to say that I love America. I love this land that I live in. I'm thankful that I was born here. I was raised here. I'm thankful that we have had the freedom all my life to worship God as we so desire. I'm thankful tonight that I can worship God according to the dictates of my heart. I can go where I so desire to go. There are churches on every corner. You can find a church to go to if you want to go to church. But I'm thankful that you also can discern by God's help and God's word where you need to go and where God wants you to go. And that's most important. But I love America. I love this nation that we're living in. But folks, we really need to pray for our country more than ever before. More than ever before. In Proverbs chapter number 14, I want to read a very familiar verse tonight to you. And then we're going to go to another passage in just a few minutes. But Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We'll read that again. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Would you please read that with me? Here we go. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Solomon writing these words here, we know that Solomon, not a lot about him, but we know he was the 10th son of David. We know he also was the 2nd son of Bathsheba. We also know that he was the 3rd king of Israel. He reigned for over 40 years, around 40 years. We know that Solomon was known for his wisdom. He was known for his wealth, and he was also known for his building program. God blessed him. God gave him many talents, many things in his life while he was here. And we see here in chapter 14 of Proverbs, as Solomon is writing these words here, he's talking about how the foolish will be judged one day, but the righteous will be accepted by God. The foolish will be judged, but the righteous will be accepted by God. And we see here in this passage of Scripture here, in this one verse here, how we find that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You look back on the nation of Israel, and you see, whenever Israel was good, they were great. But when they forsook God and went their own ways, we find then that wrath of God came upon them because they simply forsook God. They didn't follow God. They didn't believe God. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. But as long as Israel was good, they were great. Someone said this, when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And there's much to that. There's much to that. I'm afraid that America is on the verge right now of ceasing to be great because America is no longer good. America is no longer doing what America should do tonight. Therefore, we're about to cross over into a place where we don't want to be in as a nation, as a people, and as a Christian tonight. Now, I want us to notice something here. In this verse of Scripture, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. What is righteousness? Righteousness means simply right or rightness. Right or rightness. Righteousness exalteth. Exalteth means simply to rise or to raise. To rise or to raise. So righteousness will raise a nation. Righteousness will raise a people. We also see not only that, but we see, but sin is a reproach to any people. We see the word reproach here. Reproach means simply pity, or literally, reproach means wicked thing, a wicked thing. Now, in this verse right here, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We find two things here in this verse. We find, first of all, we find a problem, but we also find a solution. A problem and a solution. The problem is sin is a reproach to any people. The solution is righteousness exalteth a nation. I thank God for this verse. And I trust tonight as we look at this, God will help us to see where we are tonight as a nation, as an individual, as a church. May the Lord help us as we look at this tonight. I want to throw this thought to you tonight. And the thought is this, what's wrong with the modern world? What's wrong with the modern world? Now, we can spend all night if everybody go around and tell us what you think is wrong with the world. But I want us to look tonight from God's Word what we see wrong with the world tonight. What's wrong with the world today? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for this gathering. I thank you for each one that's come now to your house. Dear Lord, we come tonight. Lord, we need your help. Lord, your people need to hear from you tonight. We need to hear from you tonight. Dear God, I just pray tonight, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, you would open our hearts, Lord, and give us understanding. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we try to convey to these people, Lord, what you've put in our hearts tonight and for weeks now. Dear God, we need your help. And God, we as America, we need your help tonight more than ever before. And God, I pray, Lord, again, you would just direct us now in all that we say and all that we do. And Lord, may you be honored and may you be glorified, Lord, tonight here in this place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What's wrong with the world, the modern world today? What's wrong with the modern world today? Turn over in the Bible to John chapter 3. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In John chapter 3, we see here as Jesus is speaking, we see two thoughts here. First of all, we see the world's greatest verse or the world's greatest text. That is John 3:16. John 3:16. This is a verse that most people know by heart. Even people that are not Christians know this verse. They've heard it a lot. It's been quoted and said a lot in the world. And most people know this verse by heart as far as the words are concerned. But you know, I'm afraid tonight that the world really hasn't grasped this verse yet. They haven't grasped it yet. Because if the world would grasp this verse, I'm talking about the lost people in the world tonight now, they would see their need to be saved. And they would trust Christ as their Savior. Now let's look at this verse. In John chapter 3, and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this is the world's greatest text. I like this verse, don't you? I love to say this verse. I love to quote it. And there's many times in my life I have to quote it because I'm facing things, I'm going through things that I need something from God. And I'll say this verse to give me encouragement. I'll say this verse to give me help in my life as I face problems and situations in my life. I thank God for this verse. This was probably one of the first verses I ever memorized in my life as a child of God. It's John 3:16. This is the world's greatest text. The world's greatest text. Now, Jesus is writing here. Now, I want us to notice the next five verses. Verse 17 through 21. We see here in these verses, we see the world's greatest test. The world's greatest test. The world don't realize it, but they're being tested. They're being tested. They have to face a test every time somebody presents the gospel to them. They're tested every time. And we find here, as we look at this tonight, the world's greatest test, just like Solomon wrote, he presented a problem and he also presented a solution. Jesus also, in the world's greatest test here, he has presented a problem and he also presents a solution to his problem. I'm glad tonight to know that any problem I face in my life, any problem that you face in your life, we can find an answer from God's Word. There's an answer right here somewhere for us if we'll seek it out and we'll search the Scriptures and God will give us what we need in that time we're searching for something. We find here the problem and the solution to this world in which we live in. What's wrong with the modern world tonight? What's wrong with this world that we're living in? Notice, first of all, in verse 17, we see the solution. Verse 17, we see why Jesus came. Why Jesus came into this world. For God sent not his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world. Condemn means to judge. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. But notice, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. See, God sent Jesus into this world to save this world. He didn't come to judge. He's coming one day as a judge, but this time he didn't come to judge. He came to save. And so we find here, as we look at the solution to the problem here, why Jesus came. He came to save. He came to save mankind. All people in the world tonight have no excuse for not being saved. Jesus came and paid the price for everybody. Remember what he said in verse 16? For God so loved who? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The world has no excuse. Jesus did it all. He paid it all, not just for me and you, but for the whole world. And we see here the solution is why Jesus came. Now notice in the next verse, when does Jesus condemn? When does he condemn? Notice in verse 18, he that believeth on him, who is him? Jesus Christ. He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned, okay? But he that believeth not is condemned already, that is punished, condemned. He's punished already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, we find here when Jesus condemns. Notice he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him your Savior, you are not condemned. But notice he says, but he that believeth what? Not. He that believeth not is condemned when? Already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When does Jesus condemn? He condemns when people do not believe. When people do not believe. There's only one sin that sends a person to hell. That's unbelief. Unbelief. No, that's astounding to me. Of all the wicked things I've done in my life, and all the wicked things all of us have done in our life, unbelief is what sends me to hell. Unbelief is what sends me to hell. Jesus Christ forgives all my other sins. He forgives that. You know? And I'm thankful tonight to know we have a solution here. Jesus has a solution for mankind tonight. What the world, what's wrong with the modern world today? Now, let's go back up to verse number 19. Verse number 19. We talked about the solution to the problem. Now let's talk about the problem. What is the problem in the world tonight? We see in verse 19, and this is the condemnation. Now what is the condemnation? The condemnation is simply that if people do not believe in the same name of the Son, only begotten Son of God, they're condemned. This is the condemnation. In other words, this is the decision. This is the accusation. This is the judgment upon people that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the condemnation, Jesus says, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Condemnation. Condemnation. We see here that light has come into the world. Who is the light here? Jesus Christ. He come into the world. Jesus Christ come into the world. Why? He come into the world again to save people. And men love darkness rather than light. Men today do not want you to talk to them about Jesus Christ. They don't want you to talk to him about him. You know why? Because he's light. He reveals to us who we are. He shows us who we are through his word. Therefore, men do not like light. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil, you see. And therefore, men today do not want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear about the light, you see. But notice the next verse. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Those in the world tonight, those out in sin tonight, they're doing evil and they hate light. They hate light. Now, what are we as God's children in this world? We're the one of the world. Salt and light of the world, are we not? Christian, listen, you can expect not to be loved by people in the world today. Because your light shines in front of them and they're convicted and convinced that they need a Savior. They need a Savior. And therefore, we find here, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Hateth the light. I remember before I got saved, there were things I did in my life that I knew was wrong. And whenever I went to Sunday school, and my Sunday school teacher would teach me things, honestly, sometimes I didn't like it. I didn't like it. In fact, I rebelled against it sometimes. And also, even the preacher, when he began to preach, I didn't like what he was saying to me. Because I was walking in darkness and I hated the light. I hated the light. But you know, I'm so glad that the Word of God kept coming toward me, coming to me. And I really realized what the light was, who the light was, and what I needed to do in my life. But we see that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Lest his deeds should be reproved. That means convinced or convict. Conviction, listen. If you're saved tonight, you have been under conviction. Being under conviction is not a place to be. It's not a place to be. It's not a place I ever want to be again in my life. I'm thankful I don't for sins in my life. Because it's a miserable place to be when you're under conviction. God's speaking to your heart. God's knocking on your door, your heart's door. There's something going on down here that you can't understand. It's making you miserable. It's feel like you're going to have a heart attack. All kinds of things are taking place at that moment. It's conviction in your heart because the Word of God is speaking to you. I thank God for that tonight, the Word of God. The problem, condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light. We find that everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, which lest his deeds should be proved. But verse 21 says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why? That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That means they're formed, they're made, they're fashioned in God, our deeds. In other words, we want to do what God wants us to do now that we're walking in the light. So we see the problem, we see the solution tonight. The problem with the world tonight is they don't want to know what's going on in their life. They don't want to know. Never before in this world have people been so desperately asking answers for questions. People ask all kinds of answers today, have all kinds of questions today. But you know the sad thing is, they're committed that there's no answer possible to their questions. Most of them are. They're committed to that. The modern attitude today is, Father, forgive us for what we do. And please don't tell us what we're doing. Please don't tell us what we're doing. We find here that today people want to hear from God. But people don't want to hear from God's Word. They want to hear from God's Word. They want to hear what they want to hear. How good they are. We know today enough about the Word of God to have the Bible. But I'm afraid the Bible doesn't have us. The Bible doesn't have us. Someone said that the spiritual condition of a nation, the spiritual condition of a nation can be determined by how that nation spends their money. How that nation spends their money. Did you realize in a year's time, Americans spend over $83 billion in pleasure activities? Pleasure activities, $83 billion a year. Americans also spend over $13 billion a year for Christmas. For Christmas. $13 billion. Did you realize that in one day, America consumes 28 tons of aspirin, tranquilizers, and sleeping pills? 28 tons in one day. Now, I'm not too smart in math, but 28 tons, to me, is 56,000 pounds. You know how small an aspirin is? You know how small a tranquilizer is? I don't know if I had one of them. Sleeping pills, they're small, I know that. But can you imagine how many it would take to make that much weight? I'm afraid this country is under addiction. Addiction. They really are. Of things trying to solve their problems and to make life more pleasant for them. But may I say to you, and may I say to America, you won't find it there. You won't find it there. It's not possible. The world today. And I'm afraid that we as Christians, in the last few years especially, have been guided, if you please, into a place that we don't want to pray, a place that where we are literally afraid to mention God anywhere we go, lest we offend an atheist or a cult. God help us. God help us, folks. What kind of light are we in this world? When we're that way. When we're that way. We need to let the name of the Lord be heard. We need to brag on Jesus. Amen? We need to let our prayers be offered to Him. You remember what happened in 9/11, 2001? Hadn't been too long ago, but I remember that day. You do too. For some reason or another, anybody could pray anytime they wanted to, anywhere they wanted to. I mean, this country was in a state of looking towards God. You know, I don't want my way, my will, but I wish somehow we could go back to another day like that. This country needs to wake up. And, you know, all the earthquakes and all the fires and all the things that's going on throughout the world, that doesn't move us. But that day moved us. That day moved these people in this country, America. But we should not pray just when tragedy comes. We need to let the flags of America be waving every day, every day. I love America, don't you? I love this place I live in. And I love the God that I serve, too. I'm thankful, first of all, that I'm a Christian. I've been saved by the grace of God. But also, I thank God I'm American. I'm American, and I live in this world in which I live today. What has been the moral breakdown of this country, folks? What has been attacked it more than anything else to break this country down? It's been the assault on the foundation of this country, which is Christianity. That's the thing that has been assaulted more than anything else in the last 10 or 15 years. Christianity. Men are trying to do away with it, to destroy it. We find that the government, the media, the liberal Supreme Courts, the courts all over this country are trying their best to do away with Christianity. They're trying their best to do that. George Washington said in 1789, he called Americans to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. Providence of Almighty God. God provides for this country. He has. Thomas Jefferson said in 1781, God who gave us life gave us liberty. God who gave us life gave us liberty. I thank God for that tonight. We also see that the First Amendment clearly states to us that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The First Amendment, it was not written to protect government from religion. It was written to protect religion from government.
That's right.
From government. Maybe you realize that tonight. The first thing I want to talk about tonight, as far as what's wrong with the modern world, first of all, that America has suffered a severe attack on the home, the family. The home, the family, has really been attacked in the last several years, decade of our life. You know the story, as goes the home, so goes the nation. As goes the home, so goes the nation. We're seeing that. The breakdown of the family is a symptom of a dying nation, a nation that is dying. The home is the foundation of a nation. We know that God instituted in this world the home back in the Garden of Eden. That was God's institution. He started the home. The home was designed by Him. The home is a very unique place in the world today. I thank God for my home. I know you thank God for your home, a place you can go and be alone. The home is a near thing to God. God loves the home. He loves the family. But the family, the home, has really been attacked in the last several years. We know that the home stands at the very beginning or the center of our civilization. We look at the pilgrims back there and the families there over there. They went through all kinds of obstacles and all kinds of courage in establishing their home when they were here. In Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Folks, I'm saying to you tonight, it saddened me a few days ago to realize that our president calls for us to support a behavior that is an abomination to God. To rebel against God. Listen, I cannot, I will not, I will never abandon God and His Word. Let God be true and every man a liar. No one can dictate to us what we can believe or what we cannot believe. We have that freedom here. We have that freedom here. And may the Lord help us and give us the strength we need to stand in these days. Yes, the blessings of a nation today are dependent upon the favor of God. The blessings of a nation are dependent upon the favor of God. When America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. They'll cease to be great. A nation needs the direction of God to be recognized. We need to recognize God's direction as a nation. We also need America to realize that we were born in greatness. This nation was born in greatness because God was where he ought to be. The hand of God, the providence of God, is clearly seen in our history today. Sad to say, most students, some of you students out here right now, you'll never read in public schools the history of this great country because they're taking it out of school because they don't want you to know about it. They don't want you to know about it. So we see that America has suffered because of the lapse of the family. The family is really attacked today more than ever before. We also see that America has fallen on hard times. America has fallen on hard times today. We see that America has bowed to a little god called materialism. Materialism. Wrapped up in things, wrapped up in stuff, we have bowed to a god called materialism. You know, it's easy to forget that things that are seen are temporary. Things that we see are temporary. It can be a car, it can be a house, it can be a dress, it can be a shirt, a tie. All these things are temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Are eternal. And may the Lord help us to realize that today. When the foundations are being destroyed today in this country, we find in Psalm chapter 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do? God help us to realize we need to stand. We need to pray. We need to do all we can in this day in which we live. We also see that the religious environment today is changing into something new. For the last 20 years, I know we've seen a change in the, quote, religious environment in which we're in. What used to be basic truths that were taught now are unknown mysteries to young adults. You know why? They're not being taught in a church. The Sunday school teacher is not teaching the Bible. The preachers are not preaching the Bible. Therefore, nobody's learning anything about God and his word. We're raising generations of people that don't know about God, don't want to know about God, and will never know about God unless we teach them, unless we present the word of God to them. We're living in these days, folks. I'm not trying to make anything sad to you tonight. I'm just trying to tell you where we stand. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. We also see that most people today regard Easter as a religious holiday. Only a minority of people associate Easter with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know that? Right. Only a minority of people associate Easter as really being what it is. We see that Christians today are being more isolated from non-Christians than ever before. Ever before. You know, we have to be in the world. We have to go to the grocery store. We have to go to the gas station. We have to go to different places in this world today, which we live. And when we're in those opportunities, we need to make those chances count every time we see somebody. Present them a tract. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do something positive, because there's so much negative in this world. We need to do something positive. And it's only going to be Christians that's going to do anything positive. Because we have the answer, folks. We have the answer to the solution, to the problem. The problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is Him and Him alone. Less than one-third of adults nowadays will ever invite anybody to go to church during 1 year. Less than one-third. We also see that even teenagers today are less inclined to talk to anybody about their relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't do it. They don't do it. What is it that's shutting our mouths, folks? Why is it we think we've got to go over here and get in a corner and be quiet? What's happened to us? Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous world, I'll be ashamed of you when you stand before me. We need to realize as a nation, folks, we need to stand up. We need to speak up. You know, we need to show up. We need to sit up and do everything we can in these last days. We're living in the last days. I really believe that with all my heart. I really do. The sad thing is that most Americans today are very, I'm talking about Americans now, not Christians. Most Americans today are literally unimpressed with the contributions that churches are making in this country. That shames us all. They're unimpressed about Christians and who they are, the life they live. They don't live any different from the world do. Some people don't. What a shame. What a shame tonight to know that. There's growing numbers of people today in the world that are less interested in spiritual matters and more desirous of learning about solutions to life. Solutions to life. Deal with my problem. Help me out. You know, adults today are more important about, more concerned about their lifestyle, their success, and their personal achievements than they are winning people to Christ. Winning people to Christ. God help us. Americans consider survival in the present. Americans today consider surviving in the present more important than eternal security or spiritual responsibilities. Spiritual responsibilities in the world today. We also see this thing about tolerance today. The insistence of tolerance is winning over today in the Christian church. Tolerate this, tolerate that. Oh my. If this country could go back to my daddy and some of yours daddies, there'd be a big awakening, wouldn't there? When it comes to tolerance in this world. God help us. Because of tolerance, we see there are fewer and fewer today issues that Christians believe that churches should be dogmatic about. Some Christians believe that churches shouldn't be dogmatic about anything. We have to be when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God. We believe this to be dogmatic. We have a challenge today as Christians. What is the challenge, Brother Keith? We need to somehow find a balance between respecting the truth and also acting in love. Respecting the truth and acting in love. You know, just like it was a few months ago when they had the rally in Raleigh about the marriage amendment. You know, I was very pleased at the people that I saw there. I didn't see anybody acting in any bad way, you know? Or the people, there was thousands of people there. But we as Christians, we got to find a balance somewhere or another. You know, we got to respect the truth, and we got to act in love doing that as a Christian. For this world to see someone different from what they are. The church today is desperate in trying to present a more positive image to the world than it is. We need to be more positive to the world. We have the answer to the world. We have the answer, Jesus Christ. But you know, the most effective aspect of Christianity today in America is how we as believers, as we do or do not, apply our faith in public and in private. In public and in private. God help us not just, quote, to apply our faith at church. Our faith needs to be applied 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. People need to see it. People need to know that you're a Christian, no matter where you go, no matter what you do in your life. What's wrong with the modern world? There's a lot of things going on with this world today, tonight, that only God is permitting. It's not that God can't stop it, but He's permitting it. And you know what? I believe He's testing His children. He's testing every one of us to see what we're going to do. What are we going to do? Are we going to shut up, sit down, and let the world go by? Or are we going to try to reach the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I said a while ago that people are looking for answers. They are. And you know, it's amazing. Just this past week, Brother Bob Bailey and I was out visiting. We went up to this house. There was two guys standing outside by a big boat. We went up to this house and introduced ourselves and started talking to these young men. One of them was probably in his early 20s. The other one may have been in about mid-30s. I don't know. But anyway, they were good friends. We know that because after the conversation and all. But we talked to them about ourselves, what we were doing while we were there, and all them. And they were amazed. They started asking us questions. I mean questions. And we started answering them by just what we knew, okay? And we found out in a period of time, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, that the answers that we were giving them were not the answers, was not an answer to them, okay? In other words, it was just words to them, but it wasn't an answer to them because they weren't satisfied with what we said. And so they kept asking questions. And all of a sudden, Brother Bob and I both, we had with us a little New Testament. And they asked us a question. And we said to them, listen, we're not going to give you our opinion no more. Whenever you ask us a question, we're going to give you what the Word says, the Bible. Okay? They kept asking questions. Brother Bob opened his Bible and read verses to answer him. I opened my Bible. I gave them verses to answer the questions. And all of a sudden, there in another 10, 15 minutes, when we began to read the Word of God to them, we could see they were getting what they wanted to hear. The Word of God, even though they're lost, they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear the truth. They wanted to hear the truth. You know. See, we told those guys, listen, what I can tell you, what I say to you, you can take it or leave it. You know? But whenever I read the Bible to you, you can do the same thing. You can take it or leave it, but you're going to be accountable. Because I've given you the Word of God. I've given you the truth. Why am I saying this to you tonight? The world wants answers, folks. I don't have within me, neither do you have within you, the ability to give them the answers they need. Okay? But we have something here, the Bible. If you open it up, and if you share it with them, you'll be surprised how their countenance would change, their whole attitude would change, because they know. Listen, the biggest atheist in the world believes, whether he says it or not, this Bible has power. This Bible will convict and do a work in somebody's heart if you read it to them. It's always best to read the Bible. My answers don't mean nothing. Your answers don't mean nothing. But this means everything. This means everything, you see. What am I saying? What's wrong with the modern world today? Basically this. They're not believing. Why aren't they believing? Because they're not hearing. Why are they hearing? Not hearing. Because we're not witnessing. We're not doing our part. Pastor, you know it's been what? 3 or 4 years? I don't know how long it's been since we quit meeting here to go visitation. Meeting here to go up here, stand up here to go visitation. I don't know, it's been a good while. But you know, I'll be the first one to admit, since we quit coming here on Thursday night and going visiting, I'm having a harder battle to go visiting. I am. Something will come up. I'll plan, I'm going to go such and such a time. Something will happen to hinder me from going visiting. Folks, listen, we need a designated time to go visiting every week. You know, I'm afraid, not only in this church, but I'm afraid in churches throughout the world tonight, there are less Christians today on visitation than there's ever been in this country. Amen. Nobody believes it's important. You know, we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. You know, people are going to be what they're going to be. Listen, we still have the responsibility, folks, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're not talking just by internet or just by radio. We're talking about Pat and Charlie. You know who that is? Your feet. Get out and go. Get up and go. What's got wrong with us? I'm afraid we got lazy. We got complacent as Christians. We got things that bog us down. We got things that take the place of the main thing. Listen, the main thing in our life as a Christian is what? Soul winning. Winning people to Christ. This is what this country needs, folks. That's what's wrong with the world. Listen, we can blame the president. We can blame the lost world, people in the world. We can blame whoever we want to blame for the world being in the shape it's in. But I'm going to tell you something. All of us need to go home and look in the mirror. All of us need to go home and look in the mirror. And ask ourselves this question. Am I doing my part? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I doing what God wants me to do? It should not matter what's happening in the world. This should not influence us as Christians to do our part. But it's sad today to know, to believe that it has. It has. We think we need to get in a corner and hide and do nothing else for the Lord. Shame on us. Shame on us. Listen, we have the best opportunity in the world. We have the best news that anybody could ever hear. That is that Jesus Christ loved them. He died for them. Why in the world are we ashamed of it? Why in the world do we not share it and tell it with somebody? Listen, folks, I'm not being hard on you. I'm saying this to myself too. What's happened to us? What's wrong with the modern world today? I'm afraid the world has got us as Christians in a harness and leading us around where they want us to go. And we as God's children will break that harness and say, as Joshua said, for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. I want to do my part. Do you? I want to do my part. We have a work to do, folks. We really do. This country needs help. Dr. Jack Howell said many, many years ago, I'll never forget it, any problem that you have in your life, I don't care what it is, any problem you have in your life, and I believe this can apply to the world tonight, any problem the world has tonight, the best solution to your problem and to my problem is go soul winning. Go soul winning. I believe that. Most of you don't believe that, evidently. But you tried. You tried. Go soul winning. Listen, that's why we're here, folks. We're not here to give, to get, and to get in our lives, we're here to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us tonight to search our hearts and realize this country is a great country. But this country is not what it could be. I say this in love, if God's people, if all of us were what we ought to be, it'd be different. It'd be different.